Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Ben Klub, CEO of Energy Pathways. Welcome back to the podcast, Ben.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we saw the recent news, the company has just announced that the UK Secretary of State for Energy Security and Net Zero, Ed Miliband, has designated its flagship MESH project in Cumbria as a development of national significance under the Planning Act 2008, granting it priority authorisation processes. MESH is set to become a cornerstone of the UK's clean energy infrastructure, integrating long-duration energy storage, flexible low-carbon backup power, low-cost hydrogen production, next-gen industries such as synthetic graphite and low-carbon ammonia, and large-scale gas storage on par with Centrica's Rough facility. Developed with partners including Siemens Energy, Wood, Costain, KBR and Hazer, the project is positioned to reduce wasted wind energy, cut reliance on aging gas plants, support net zero targets and deliver long-term economic and energy security benefits for the UK. So the Secretary of State has designated MESH as a project of national significance. Can you just give us more colour on what this status really means for Energy Pathways and how it changes the trajectory of the project?
Well, the purpose of the Planning Act 2008 is to enable important national projects to be advanced in a prompt fashion, say through the UK bureaucracy and planning processes. And so this designation of MESH as a project of national significance is just that. It recognises the significant contribution that MESH can make to the UK's energy system and its journey to achieve net zero and a decarbonised power system.
Absolutely. And I think just kind of a little recap for listeners and investors, the announcement now obviously highlights MESH's potential to integrate the long duration storage, the hydrogen and next gen industries like synthetic graphite, as we've alluded to in previous podcasts. How do these elements fit together to create a transformative energy hub?
Well, the UK's energy transition has got multiple challenges, but one of the key challenges that the UK already faces and must address with speed is the significant costs being essentially passed on to consumers relating to excess or wasted wind power. We're in the billions per year territory, and that's set to go up, and depending on which sort of government estimate you're looking at, but by 2030 we could be up to 6 to 8 billion of essentially wasted value that is being passed on to consumers. So this must be addressed, and the solution is storage and long duration energy storage. The options are in the toolkit for the UK are, in our view, limited, but MESH is one which genuinely delivers long duration energy storage, i.e. multi-day storage, to harness this wasted wind and then to dispatch it to the consumer during periods of no wind. That long-duration energy storage, you've heard it many times from the government, from GB Energy. This is the critical challenge. And quite honestly, they're scratching around trying to find a solution. So MESH, we think, can play a really big part in getting value for these wasted billions back to the consumer. And MESH is a scalable project, so it can be built up and play a big part in solving this part of the energy challenge.
Absolutely. And obviously, one of the things that has really impressed me, and certainly I'm sure a lot of listeners and investors, is the ability to attract some major partners, you know, some big household names, Siemens, Wood, Costain, KBR and Hazer already on board. You know, what does this recognition, the recent recognition, mean in terms of industry and investor confidence? And I guess what are the next practical steps to move MESH towards a development consent?
Well, yeah, these are big players in the clean energy space who you've mentioned, sort of key partner with respect to long duration energy storage and compressed air storage system is Siemens Energy. We consider them to be the world leaders in this space, and they can clearly see the opportunity here in the MESH project and our ability to to develop scalable compressed air storage systems for the UK. Now, so with this decision, it gives the confidence for investors such as Siemens Energy as a participant in the project and the other, big players that we've got with there to invest in the UK's energy transition and move this project forward. So it's an important signal to build investor confidence.
Absolutely. I'm just going to open the floor up soon too. We were joined by Charles Archer, our resident analyst, and also Tom Hudson, aka Reddit Deluxe. So over to you, Charles and Tom, to do your worst.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good, good. Good. I think good may be an underestimation. Obviously, this is fantastic, fantastic news. I've got a quick question for you that I've got. So mesh projects, the major elements will now get priority development authorization. What are the minor elements, basically, that we don't that maybe might take a little bit longer? And do we have kind of a timeline now for final approval and then financing and then project build?
Yeah, so the minor elements are sort of the parts of the infrastructure that joins all the pieces together in effect. So I won't itemize them, but we're integrating the compressed storage salt cavern system, the above ground generating and compression systems with onshore connections to the gas grid and the electricity grid. So it's all those connection points that, sort of call it the minor elements of what we've described. With respect to the timetables and the plans, we're going to be working with the government on the process of progressing the project through the Planning Act 2008 approval processes. But at the end of the day, the company's ambition and the government's ambition for that matter is to deliver on 2030 clean power outcomes. We're committed to that objective, and sort of there's many facets to this project. So those will, the initial operational kickoff will be 2030, and it will be built on over time to move the UK's journey to net zero and industrial growth. So that's where aspects like the hydrogen production will come into play. And as again, I'm sure you're completely aware, hydrogen as a technology is considered an important part of the UK's energy transition. With our technology offering, which we have exclusive rights to use within the UK, we think we can produce the lowest cost hydrogen within the UK. And associated with that, producing a critical mineral, graphite, which is identified by the UK government as key to energy transition and industrial growth. And we will be essentially leading the way in terms of graphite production within the UK.
Well, I think it's that future proofing, isn't it? It's the fact that you have so many different strings to the bow. If some element of the project gets into any kind of trouble, you've got all the other elements to bring it back together. With this, the project's now confirmed as nationally significant. I mean, we already have tier one partners, but you'd imagine when it comes to financing this project, potentially you're going to have tier one finance come on board relatively shortly with the Section 35 granted. Well, can you not comment on that yet?
Look, on the financing front for the development, we're going to be looking at an array of financing options. I think this is a project that will appeal to some of the government financing vehicles, like such as GB Energy, National Wealth Fund to consider, and as well as maybe more multilateral type financial institutions, as well as clean energy funds. So, we've got a lot of work to do in terms of pulling the financing support for the entire development. But there's, as you've previously commented, this project has got, multi compartments for financing, and will appeal, we think, to a number of the sectors that I've just described.
And I'll let Tom ask a question after this. This is my next kind of key one. Centrica's Rough gas storage facility. I mean, there's two elements here. The first is that it seems to be sort of closed and open and closed and open every 5 minutes, but also they're constantly after government money to keep it up and running. Even if Mesh gets on up and running and you also have Rough at the same time, that's still, in my mind anyway, not enough gas storage for the country's needs. So the impetus to get this up and running as quickly as possible must be really strong at the moment, right?
Yeah, from a UK energy security point of view, the UK is basically very short of gas storage
Especially
capability.
compared to Europeans. Yeah.
So it's in order in comparison to the likes of Germany, France, the Netherlands, Italy. it's got approximately about a tenth of the gas storage capability as it stands. Now, Rough gas storage accounts for just over half of the UK's current or existing gas storage capability, and Centrica has publicly made comments that it's cautioned that it may be shut down and quite soon. So we consider mesh a call it an insurance to that scenario, as well as a recognition that the UK is very short of gas storage capability as it stands at the moment anyhow. And as the UK increasingly becomes more dependent on gas imports for its gas needs, then all we can see is that that situation will be exacerbated. Now, for the mesh gas storage facility, we think we can develop that for a very competitive cost, and we don't think we're dependent on government subsidies for that development. So it's a service that we can offer. But for us, we think it's a valuable piece of the ability to deliver low carbon flexible power at affordable prices by connecting not just the compressed air system but gas storage into the mesh's power generation, flexible power generation capability.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ben. Tom, over to you.
Firstly, Ben, congratulations. It's been a long road, hasn't it? So basically, just to follow on from what Charles was talking about with regard to sort of our pressing need for energy storage and sort of real infrastructure and solutions to the UK's sort of energy storage issues. At the end of the RNS today, you said that basically mesh will be the sort of flagship project potentially for the government and able to be replicated. Do you see some sort of scalability in other areas of the UK, in other areas of the North Sea?
In short, yes. The facility of mesh we've spec'd out has a dispatchable power capability of 350 megawatts. That can be scaled. That can be longer duration capability, and it can be developed in other locations that we're looking at where salt caverns can be built at scale within the UK environment. Not all salt sequences sort of work, and so we're looking at other salt opportunities that we think have the right attributes.
And with regard to effectively the efficiency of the project, you appear to have found a way of exploiting sort of domestic UK sort of homegrown sort of gas fields in a way that mitigates sort of all sort of scope one, two, and three emissions, if effectively by utilizing traditional gas emissions like methane and nitrogen, and not necessarily decarbonizing by sort of using like the usual sort of CCUS kind of facilities, but by creating clean ammonia and graphite, which seems just a really efficient way of effectively decarbonizing and making sort of domestic UK gas production sort of viable. Do you see that being utilized in other gas fields as well?
Yeah, in short. So, I mean, where I think the UK stands with respect to future gas development, there's a current moratorium on new licenses. There's a concern with gas development with respect to emissions or scope 3 emissions. What Mesh is offering and Energy Pathways technology here is a full decarbonisation mechanism for gas use, where it's converted into hydrogen and graphite as a byproduct. From a sort of cost of decarbonisation point of view, we think it's very competitive with blue hydrogen or CCS linked power gen. And it's a fraction of the cost of utilizing electrolytic hydrogen for power generation and purposes. So the energy efficiency of our process is going to be significantly better than green hydrogen type solutions here. From a power gen point of view, you're looking at energy efficiency of 30% when it comes around to green hydrogen. Our system is we're looking at sort of 70% type capabilities. So we think we have an attractive and innovative means of harnessing the value from the UK's stranded gas resources in effect, because we can deliver those gas resources in a fully decarbonized way into the UK energy system.
Just one very brief question for me again would be effectively the Section 35 approval and directive, that surely has to have an impact on the NSTA gas storage license resubmission that has been requested, as does effectively the sort of updated resubmission, because now, I suppose, compared to the original application in August 2024, you've got Siemens Energy on board, Costain and KBR, Wood Group. So, yeah, how do you think that effectively the new sort of government thumbs up via the Section 35 will affect the gas storage license application?
Well, I mean, I think clearly the Section 35 decision is a clear endorsement of the mesh project and what it can deliver to the UK's energy system and energy transition. The licenses with respect to gas storage, that consideration by the NSTA, you know, that's their process. That's something that they need to look into. But yeah, to my eye, it's all complementary. And it delivers greater value to the UK and the energy consumers in the UK.
So Ben, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've been waiting for the government to actually make the right decision on a scale of 1 to 10. How do you feel?
I think this is a great outcome for the company and our shareholders and for the energy transition. So in the UK, so I think it's a great step. It's a major milestone, and look, we're all about now delivering it to, you know, to the market and getting on with it. So we've got the right team, we've got the right partners, we've got the right project. It's highly competitive against alternatives, and I think we've got a unique solution to really stop a lot of wasted leakage of taxpayer money in the UK energy transition.
Yeah, I think every person who has an electricity bill should have a few EPP shares so that they can counterbalance the fact that their electric bills are going to go up. But anyway, you have been doing a lot of work in the background. I mean, you haven't just appeared on the market. There's been a huge amount of work done over the last, what is it, 18 months, 2 years, nearly. How big is this project likely to be? Because it's a hell of a lot bigger than it was when you first listed.
Yeah, look, I've already, I guess, described a bit about the project in terms of from a generation or flexible power generation capability, which is a, you know, key part of the transition. We're looking at 350 megawatts as an initial project with multi-day storage capability and probably one of the largest hydrogen producing projects in the UK when developed. So we're looking at a very big project here. And but what I think is exciting is that it's further scalable. And we're on to looking into how we can further scale this because we think it's a critical part of the UK's transition to net zero and decarbonising the UK system.
I presume, having had conversations over this 35 license, you've been having conversations with the government. They've been pushing you towards expanding the whole process, as in not just this particular thing.
Well, I think the government's ambitions are quite are publicly clear. The levels of long duration energy storage that they require by 2030 are in the gigawatt levels. And you know, furthermore, the expansion of battery storage that is targeted is massive, tens of gigawatts. And Mesh is a facility that can provide the services for long duration energy storage and, for that matter, sort of battery storage systems. And there's a heavy reliance in this future state world in the UK to be able to have access to flexible power gen, and it relies on the UK's existing fleet of 35 gigawatts of unabated gas power gen, which is, you know, at risk, or much of it at risk of retiring. So energy security, to have energy security from an electricity point of view in the UK, increasing the UK's flexible power generating capability, especially if it's in a low carbon manner, which is mesh, is critical.
So we've got ammonia and graphite to add on to the game here as well in terms of revenue producers. So is this company, now that you seem to have the green light, special situation in the UK, is this going to be worth tens of millions, hundreds of millions, or billions?
Look, I mean, these add-ons you've just mentioned, such as low carbon ammonia and graphite, can be significant revenue generators in their own right. Our target here is to produce battery grade graphite, and the UK doesn't produce any of its own. 80% of the graphite, battery grade graphite market comes out of China, and the sort of the price for that product is up to $10,000 a ton. We're looking to target producing 60,000 tons per annum. So in its own right, that has potential to be a huge revenue stream for the company. From a low carbon ammonia point of view, the UK has closed down its last ammonia production facility last year. That was a high emission. It was a traditional high emission type process. So there's an opportunity here for the UK to be a leader in low carbon ammonia production and lead the way through the MeSH project.
That was well not answered, Ben. Well done. I asking the question about the ammonia, has the UK decided that we'll close that because that makes us look more green, but we'll import it all instead? Because that's what's happened.
Well, the UK didn't make it close down. It closed down itself because it was sub-economic due to cost of gas and the cost of paying for emissions in the UK. So if you can find a solution for producing ammonia without exposing yourself to emissions taxes, in effect, then that's the way to go. And that's what we can do. Now, by producing low carbon ammonia within the UK, it's essentially protected from high emission imports due to the Carbon Border Adjustment Mechanism, which kicks off in 2027, which will impose an additional tariff on any ammonia imports that are sourced through high emission production processes, which in effect is virtually everything, because 95% of ammonia is produced via SMR, high emission production processes. So we think we're in a very strong position to competitively produce low carbon ammonia to meet local and UK and European demand.
Well, Ben, I look forward to continuing to interview you as we move into the FTSE 250 over the next couple of years. So well done.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Okay. On that note, we'll say Ben Klube, CEO of Energy Pathways, and Tom Hudson and Charles Archer, thanks very much for joining the podcast.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.